T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That's John Brennan speaking on the issue of the Iranian scientist that was taken out. And, you know, this is something that the timing of this is very interesting, and it's precarious considering the fact that we could potentially have an administration change coming up here. And while the world is talking about this, we're going to talk to Jim Carafano about it. He's the leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage Foundation. Find him on Twitter at JJ Carafano. Jim, thanks for coming on the show with us today. What can you tell us about this development in Iran?
What universe is John Brennan living in?
I was hoping you'd clarify for us.
Look. Israel and Iran are not at war. Iran has vowed to destroy Israel. They recently organized at least 4 major terrorist plots in Western Europe, all of which were foiled, by the way, thank God. Iran is at war with these people. Iran is trying to kill people. And this guy was in charge of their nuclear weapons program, which is completely illegal. Whose side is he on?
That's a great question.
Jim, from what I'm seeing, Iran is trying to blame Israel for this. I don't know whether there's any truth to that or not, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, are they going to blame Israel for this no matter really who's responsible?
Yeah, look, I'm always hesitant to connect dots when I don't know if those dots go together. I mean, here's what we know. Okay, somebody killed a guy. Actually, the facts of the attack and everything are completely in dispute and confused by the fact that the Iranian government won't even come clean with information on what happened. We know that people have killed Iranian nuclear scientists before. At least 4 were taken out between 2010 and 2012. There are reports that an Al-Qaeda operative in Iran was shot in the streets this year. A very senior Al-Qaeda operative. We know for a fact that Israel, because they acknowledged it, have attacked Iranian targets in Syria. So we know there is going on back and forth between the Israelis and the Iranians. Do we know if all this is a part of that publicly? The answer is no. Publicly, we don't know that. On the other hand, like I said, we all know this is going around. Part of this is Israel's legitimate right of self-defense. That's protecting himself from over-aggressive and, you know, kinetic, real acts from Iran. And then there's a question of, well, is Israel doing things now because they're just trying to really, you know, sour any opportunity for a U.S. Iranian re-engagement under a different administration? And let me tell you, if that's what they're trying to do, good for them.
So that was my next question. Thanks for setting that up so nicely. If the Joe Biden administration is who we have come January, I mean, there couldn't be 2 more stark differences in the way administrations handled the United States relationship with Iran when you compare the Obama administration in Iran, pallets of cash and an Iran nuclear agreement, and then Donald Trump, who came in and figuratively blew up that whole thing and went an entirely different direction. I don't know if we know what Biden is going to do, but he sure seems to have appointed people who have had good relationships with Iran in the past. What direction does this take, especially with this particular instance involved?
Well, I don't know. I would say 2 things. One is, let us not forget that everybody that led Middle East policy under the last administration, many of whom Biden would want to appoint to senior positions, they were wrong on almost everything. They were wrong on Syrian chemical weapons. They were wrong on moving the embassy to Jerusalem. They were wrong on the caliphate. They were wrong on the Iran deal. They were wrong on nations not willing to normalize relations with Israel. They were wrong on literally everything. And so to bring back the same people who were wrong on everything in the Middle East and put them in charge of policy, to me, that's kind of scary. The other thing I would say is, look, it's easy to say we're going to just work back 4 years. But I think in practice, that's really hard to do. What are you going to do about all the Iranian cheating, which even the International Atomic Energy Agency has documented? Do you really want to not deal with their ballistic missile program? Do you really want to lift the arms embargo? I mean, there's all kinds of issues that you just can't ignore. And if you do ignore, first of all, you don't even know what the Iranians are going to do. Iran, for example, could well say, well, you have to apologize for killing Soleimani and pay us reparations. I mean, what kind of American president is going to humiliate themselves by doing things for the Iranians that actually do nothing for us or the security of anybody? So, you know, you say lots of things on the campaign trail. You know, doing those things in practice, you know, we'll see.
Jim Carafano, leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage, on the phone with us. Jim, because of the victories that you just outlined, the Trump campaign has seen a tremendous amount of success in foreign policy. Really doesn't get talked about a whole lot. What state do we find Iran in right now? Are they, we know they've been sanctioned to death, but are they more volatile than ever right now?
Well, look, I mean, this is a very resilient regime from the standpoint that they can hold on to control of this country. That's not anything remarkable. I mean, lots of Venezuela's done that. You know, North Korea's done that. But you know, their economy's in tatters. They're hammered by COVID. Their population hates them. They don't. Everybody hates each other and suspects each other. But they can hang in there because that's what totalitarian regimes do. But the point is they can't really do much beyond just hanging on. And the worst thing you can do is, you know, give them a get out of jail free card. And this is the thing that's, to me, which is so terribly frustrating, is, look, let's say you've got a different administration and they hate the guy with the orange hair and they hate something else. 4 years of foreign policy has put Iran in a very bad place. Use that. You know, use the advantage that you have. Don't squander it. I mean, this is the crucial mistake Obama made. You know, we had sanctions under Bush. We had sanctions under Obama. We actually had the Iranians backed into a corner. And then what we did is, because we were so desperate for a deal to make it look like we were such great people, we gave them this incredibly sweetheart deal, which undermined all our leverage and authority, and they ran wild for years. Why would we repeat that mistake? It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jim Carafano and with Heritage Foundation. We've seen the president draw down troops in the Middle East, and you've been a leader on talking about how, you know, ending endless wars is not quitting. And I think it's such an important and under-talked about point about what President Trump has done in the Middle East. What is the difference between ending endless wars and quitting?
Well, because when the president drew down on military forces, he did that because he put things into the region that they didn't have before. So, for example, even though we've drawn down our forces in Syria, and Syria is a debacle beyond imagination, it's more stable than it's been in years. It's nothing that Obama came close to achieving. It's not a threat to anybody else in the region, which is really all that's important. You know, the president delivered things to Arab nations and to Israel that convinced them to normalize and gave them more courage to stand up and take more responsibility for themselves. So it's not like he just pulled stuff out and said, you guys are on your own, which, by the way, is exactly what Obama's foreign policy was. Obama's foreign policy is we're going to walk away. You guys solve your own problems. And what happened? All those problems got horribly worse. What Trump did is he put things into the region. I mean, not boots on the ground, but other things that have the potential for a long-term stable region where people take care of themselves and they band together against the likes of Al-Qaeda, Islamist terrorists, and Iran. And if all you do is go in and say, we're going to reverse the last 4 years, that's like the doctor coming in and saying, I know you're getting better, but I'm going to take your antibiotics away. Because the other doctor gave you antibiotics, and I didn't like the other doctor.
Yeah, petty. Sounds very petty. Jim Carafano, thank you for coming on with us. We always appreciate your expertise on these issues, and it's getting more and more interesting here as the election is still working out, getting settled. these issues are very important, and we appreciate your expertise.
Well, thanks a lot. For me, it's always like therapy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.